Washington, Mike Makowicz, Fox News Radio.
Wall Street right now, the Dow up 42 points. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News Radio.
Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into this Wednesday edition of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. And if you've been tuning in over the last couple of months, you know that on our Wednesday edition or Wednesday segment of the Knowing the Truth radio program, we do something called Worldview Wednesday, sponsored by World Magazine. And we're going to continue that tradition here today as well. And I'm going to have two guests on the program today, one that I taped on Monday of this week, early Monday morning, maybe about 10:30 or so. I was speaking with Chuck Norris, martial arts master and actor and also a concerned citizen. Somebody was telling me the other day that Chuck attends a Reformed Baptist church. I think it's in Oklahoma. Somebody said that they had read his autobiography and that's where he goes to church. I didn't get a chance to ask him about that specifically during our discussion, but I wish I would have known that. I would have probably went down that line of thought there a little bit as well. But anyways, Chuck was with me on the broadcast on Monday. We taped a program, just an interview for about 15 or 20 minutes, asking him about the expanded edition of his New York Times bestseller called Black Belt Patriotism, How to Reawaken America. And so we were looking and talking about some of the issues that he brings up in this book. So we're going to play that tape first. At the bottom of the hour, when that interview is over, I'll take a few questions, and then we have to go to a commercial break, or we'll have to go to one at the bottom of the hour. And so if you're interested in calling and discussing what you hear about Black Belt Patriotism with Chuck Norris, I'd be happy to take your question. And during the interview, you can certainly send me a tweet or also an email, kevin@knowingthetruth.org, during the discussion as well. I'll be happy to try to work that in as soon as that taped version of the program today is over. After that point, when we come back from the break, we're going to switch gears a little bit. We're going to speak with Alyssa Harris from World Magazine about marriage on trial. There's right now a court case is underway in California about Proposition 8. There's a couple of lawyers that are working on behalf of some plaintiffs that have brought a case against the Proposition 8. And I'll explain all of what Proposition 8 is during that portion of the broadcast. But that'll be live with Alyssa Harris from World Magazine, and you'll be able to call in during that portion of the program as well. Let's go right away to the interview with Chuck Norris this past Monday. Hey, with me on the line right now is Chuck Norris, and Chuck's book, Black Belt Patriotism, has just been a new expanded edition, has just come out, and so that's what Chuck is on the line to speak with us about today, and the title of this is the same as the last one that came out, this is an expanded edition, but it's called Black Belt Patriotism, How to Reawaken America. Chuck, welcome into the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
Oh, thank you, Kevin. It's a pleasure to be on your show.
Chuck, if we could, in the time that we have available to us here today, I wanted to talk about there. You cover a number of different issues in this book, and I'm finding it very, very interesting, and especially even the updated segments in this new release, the paperback version. But I wanted to see if we could zero in on three areas. One is what I consider maybe the most important of all of these areas, and maybe the job number one, we could say, for our government today, and that job number one, of course, is Homeland Security. The president's strategy, it seems to be a strategy of appeasement, going around the world, apologizing for America to the rest of the world. He seems to be committed to, even after everything that's taken place, to closing Guantanamo Bay because our enemies don't like it. He's refusing to even refer to them as being terrorists. He's the political correctness that we saw and the consequences from that during the Fort Hood event that took place, terrorist attack that took place there. Now the KSM trials are being moved to New York City. Yemen has flared up, and just unbelievable in my mind that some of the administration officials would say that they're surprised that Al-Qaeda would be working from Yemen. All of these things taken together, what is your thinking on what is taking place right now in the entire broad category of homeland security?
Well, actually, that's the reason I expanded the book, because I wrote it a year and a half ago, and so much has happened in the last year and a half, Kevin, that's why I address in this book here. But, you know, we're heading toward a very bad crisis in our country. And I'll tell you something that really disturbs me that you may not be aware of, Kevin, is that Barack Obama signed an executive order on December 16th allowing Interpol. You know who Interpol is?
I do, and I read your article out on WND.com this morning.
Yes.
So, yeah, that's very interesting.
For your listeners who don't know what Interpol is, it's the International Criminal Police Organization. And what Barack Obama has done is he has signed an executive order allowing them to come into our country and have complete immunity over search and seizure. They can come in and search our premises and seize us if they wish, and they also are over the Freedom of Information Act, where they are not obligated to that. And this scares me, Kevin. This scares me badly, because we're empowering a global police force, and we're completely eliminating our U.S. sovereignty. And I don't understand why they would allow Interpol to be over our CIA, FBI, and all of our local officials and local law enforcement all over the country. I don't understand this, and this is very, very scary.
This common thread that you brought out in there, this idea of breaking down our sovereignty, you know, this kind of came up during the Copenhagen agreement as well. This seems to be almost a common thread, that our sovereignty is being eroded by the actions taken by this administration.
I know. It's scary what they're doing. You're like, you know, like you just brought up all the big questions as, you know, Gitmo, you know, if I was a terrorist, I would want to stay at Gitmo. It's a Caribbean island. You know, it's warm. You know, if they bring you to Illinois, you're going to freeze your buns off. So I'm in favor of bringing them over here and let them freeze in one of these prisons over here.
There was more like a hotel there.
Yeah, they won't be watching. They won't be seeing the ocean from there, you know.
You know what was disturbing, I think, even more recently, and this is, you know, as a result of your book here, you bring it out in the book as well, but this latest terrorist attack on Christmas Day, this flight from Amsterdam to Detroit, it showed that, and let me ask you if you feel that this is the case, that the president's attitude towards terrorism, which I just defined as one of appeasement, that if we talk nice to them and we treat them nice and all this thing, they're going to go away or stop attacking us. Obviously, that's been proven to be a complete failure.
Oh, yeah. But, well, you know, the thing is, you think back, Kevin, Jimmy Carter had the same philosophy. Mm-hmm. And look what happened during his administration.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
exactly.
It was horrible.
Yeah.
You know, and the people that, you know, don't go back that far. I mean, we had interest rates of 20%. He's the one that actually encouraged the Ayatollah Khomeini to take over Iran from the Shah. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was encouraging all that because he thought the Ayatollah would have a democracy there. Mm-hmm. And rather than a monarchy, and see what we're facing right now,
exactly.
And that's what worries me about President Obama, is that he has the same philosophy by appeasement, and thinking that you know, if we say we're not a Christian nation and all this here, that the Muslims will you know, treat us kindly, and the thing is, the extremists have one goal. And we all know this, and that's the elimination of our country.
Right.
And if you know, and I bring that all up in the book, you know, and you know, and the thing is, what we have to do, and some common sense solutions, you know, our immigration's a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? You know, they keep debating about how about the immigrants in our country, and I bring up the solution there. You know, there's millions of law-abiding illegal aliens in our country. In fact, I have a foundation called Kickstart where I teach the martial arts to at-risk kids in the inner city schools of Texas.
Yeah.
And many of their parents are illegals.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, they're working hard, trying to make a living for their kids. And the thing is that I bring up the solution of how to keep them in our country and get rid of the criminals and get mm-hmm. them out of our country. So I have a whole chapter dealing with that situation.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that this the attitude that the president has and his leading cabinet have towards terrorism is having a negative effect upon the entire homeland security? This is what I mean by this. Since he, you know, doesn't seem to take it as being a top priority for mm-hmm. his responsibilities, does that have a trickle-down effect that then even down to the TSA and that they just don't look at it? I mean, as kind of revealed to us in this latest terrorism attack, they just didn't seem to take it as seriously as they should have taken it. Do you think?
No, they don't take it. They don't. Again, it's all the appeasement, and they don't, being politically correct, you know. And the thing is, why did Barack Obama want a civilian army in our country? Mm. That's never been addressed by the mainstream media.
Mm-hmm.
Why did he want to organize a civilian army in our country? And I think that since he couldn't get that across, that's why I think he signed this executive order about for Interpol, because they can do pretty much what his civilian army that he had in mind to do, be able to have immunity to be able to do things in our country that our Constitution does not allow.
Okay.
And you know, and the thing is, all our the CIA and the FBI, Congress. They attack them. You know, they can bring them down, but Congress will not be able to do anything with Interpol.
Mm. Well,
it's a scary time right now, Kevin, and we as Christians in our country have got to stand up. You know, it's time for us to stop being a silent majority.
Mm-hmm.
It's time for us to stop. You know, I was just as guilty as everyone, hiding my head in the sand. You know, thinking, well, maybe it'll go away if I don't look. But it's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And if we as Christians don't stand up and help rectify the problem we have in our country, it's not going to change. And I've talked to some high level people, and they said it's time for the Christian nation to rise up. Otherwise, it's going to go from bad to worse.
Well, I think if there's one silver lining to some of the things that have happened so quickly here, I think that a bit of a sleeping giant has been awakened, that people are starting to realize how quickly we can lose everything, that all of the freedoms and wonderful things that we have built up in this country since its inception. I'm not saying it's perfect. Everybody agrees with that. But still, there are tremendous freedoms here, and we've sent out missionaries all over the world. We've been able to support missions and mercy ministry all around the world as well, like no other nation
Absolutely.
Upon the face of the earth was able to do. And all of that is going to be quickly, has been over this past year, and can be quickly taken away from us. Let's move on to you talked about this the last time I had you on the broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
And to tell you the truth, I didn't take it as seriously during that time. But you talked about another issue that almost turned out to be prophetic here. And that was the subject of the national debt.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, right after our broadcast and shortly thereafter and certainly into 2009, the entire financial system just experienced a meltdown.
It collapsed.
It
yeah.
did. And so, you know, now we have just tremendous debt that we are straddling and strapping on the backs of our children coming after us here. I think you mentioned in the book $30,000 per person in the United States would have to be paid in order to meet the national debt.
Now it's $350,000 per person.
Unbelievable.
$350,000 per person to pay off the debt. I mean, it's you know, I brought this up a year and a half ago, and of course it's magnified itself since then, and that's why I wrote the expanded version of this here, because things have gone so astray since then. And so the thing is, Kevin, you know, I bring up the fair tax thing. I'm a firm believer in fair tax. Our IRS, you know, as I think I mentioned to you before, the tax code in the IRS is 66,490 pages. Now, the thing is, who in the world has read that many pages? Nobody.
Yeah.
Nobody. Barney Frank definitely has not. And so the thing is, we need a simplified system of taxation in our country. And I bring this up all in the book, you know, a whole chapter on the fair tax. And I really believe that's our answer to the situation we're dealing with in our country. And I would, if the people read this, I believe they will agree with me that the fair tax is a really simplified version of how bringing our country back to where it should be.
Well, they seem to work overtime, don't they, on making things complicated?
Mm.
I mean, say, you know, that many laws, obviously nobody is going to be able to comply with those types of things. And then you've got to have this whole army of tax folks in order to try to pore over these documents in order to figure out what's the right way to pay your taxes. And speaking of taxes and taxes going up, what about this health care situation?
Oh, see, again, that's another. That's over 2,000. No one's read that either.
Mm-hmm.
And I read through that, and with the help of my legal team, because it's so complicated to read.
Yeah.
But the thing is that one provision in there said that the government would have the right to come into our home and tell us how to raise our children.
I saw that, yeah.
And I wrote an article in WorldNet Daily. Mm-hmm. 43 million readers read that thing.
Wow.
But the thing is, we don't know what else is in that health care bill.
Mm-hmm.
Think about this, Kevin. 80% of the health care bill, health care, is okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's 20% that's really all goofed up.
Right.
So why don't we just concentrate on that 20% and get in there and shore that up?
Yeah.
And rather than tearing the whole healthcare system apart and starting from scratch and making it worse than it is already, I just don't understand their thinking there.
Mm-hmm.
There's you don't fix something that's not broken.
Right.
80% of it's not broken. So let's fix the 20% that is broken and then have a real solid healthcare system in our country. But they're not going to do that.
No. I completely agree, and I was saying the same thing. Why do we have to have a 2,000-page bill?
Mm-hmm.
Why can't we just carve off one small piece, like let's fix Medicaid and Medicare, the part that they're already in charge of?
Absolutely.
They're already running in the red, deep in the red, and, you know, why can't we just reform those, and then after that's reformed, we could move on to something else so that it's manageable and it's accountable, and then we could, you know, we can do this in the right way. But that does not seem to be the way at all.
No, and who wrote the health care bill, Kevin?
Yeah, Nancy Pelosi.
I'd like to know who wrote it.
Yeah, exactly.
They never say who wrote that health care bill.
It appears to be behind closed doors up there with both Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi.
Doesn't that drive you crazy?
Oh,
you know, Barack Obama promised on his campaign that he and Congress would be transparent.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, he would be putting everything on C-SPAN. I mean, I must have seen that at least 8 times, him saying on his campaign that we're going to put everything on C-SPAN, so we will be transparent, everyone will know what's going on. And when Nancy Pelosi was asked that question, she said, well, there were a number of things said on the campaign trail.
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy.
I mean, what an idiotic answer to that question.
You know, even the liberal news media, I think, is beginning to start to question some of these things. I heard Jack Cafferty the other day on CNN just blast Barack Obama for the saying that these things would be open and then them not being open at all. I mean, it's laughable. Anybody can see the hypocrisy between those statements. Exactly. Let me just read a quick section of your book here, Chuck, and then I want to ask you about the solution here in just a couple minutes that we have left.
Okay.
You write this. You say that since this book was released in September 2008, our country has a new president and a Democratic majority in Washington. For better or for worse, we have new leadership and a new direction for America. It's a kinder and gentler Washington to whom the global war on terror has turned into a, quote, overseas contingency operation, unquote. It's a softer and relational Washington with whom, in international bonds are more important than national borders and boundaries. It's a more secular Washington, which says that the country is no longer a, quote, Christian nation, unquote. It's a more liberal Washington, which has enacted more left-leaning legislation in its first year than any previous administration. It's a more generous Washington from whom handouts, bailouts, and borrowing are granted and given at record-breaking political speed, unquote. Mm-hmm. And so with that in mind, there's the backdrop of all of these problems.
That's really the crux of it all.
And we could certainly go in much greater depth. But you say in the book, the solution to this, and I think that this is a biblical solution, and I'll quote that verse here in just a second, but you say we need to go back in order to go forward. Jeremiah 6:16 said it this way, "Stand ye in the way and see, and ask for the old paths, wherein is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." So we're talking about old advice for the new millennium. Tell us about that solution that you put forth in the book.
You just go back and you see Thomas Jefferson, the quotes that Thomas Jefferson wrote, and James Madison, and you could see the intelligence of these men and the vision they had for the future of our country. And our country thrived over those visions they had. And now we're drifting away from the visions that our founding fathers had for this country. They were geniuses, and they saw what the potential of our country. But unfortunately, our leadership now is looking toward a European version of our country, and that's what we left. That's why we left England. Mm-hmm. We left England because of the overtaxation and the dominate and the one religion there. You know, and so
State
that's when we came to America, so we'd have the freedom of religion and the ability to be able to practice what we wanted to practice here, or whatever our faith may be, or even if you're an atheist, you could. But you know, Benjamin Franklin said, you know, America's a great place to come to because you have the freedom to practice your faith in any way you want, and now we're starting to, now Christianity is, God is taken out of our schools, and now I don't know if you even noticed, the Pledge of Allegiance, they have a new version of it.
Oh,
I pledge allegiance to the planet.
Oh boy,
and it talks about Greenpeace type thing. You know that we got to protect our planet. This is our pledge of allegiance.
Oh brother, there's a systematic undermining of the heritage of this country.
I'm telling
you, and taking that away, and we're seeing that more and more. And by the way, that was the exact way. I think it was Karl Marx who said, the infamous father of communism, if you separate a people from their heritage, they're easily swayed. And we're seeing that systematic.
Oh, we're definitely seeing it, Kevin. Mm-hmm. We're definitely seeing them slowly but surely pull us away from it, and people have got to stand up.
Yes.
You know, they've got to rise up and say enough is enough, and we're not going to take it any longer. And if you're going to push us in that direction, you're going to be out of office. Mm-hmm. And this year is really a very important year.
Yes.
We have got to elect conservatives.
Yes.
Into Congress, so we can have a majority of conservatives in Congress, so that Obama cannot push all these. You know, make him a lame duck. President.
Yeah, good point. And I had Jim DeMint on the program the other day, and Senator Jim DeMint, and he is working towards that as well. And he's got a website out there for conservatives to, in order to support these conservative candidates. So, Chuck, thank you very much for being with me on the Knowing
the
Truth.
It's really good to talk to you again.
Well, that you could tell was our interview with Chuck Norris that I did on Monday's broadcast. Actually, Monday in the morning before the broadcast, we taped that off air and then just wanted to re-air it. So you can hear Chuck's passion there. We were talking about the latest release of his book called Black Belt Patriotism. It's now an expanded edition. It was New York Times bestseller list. I can't remember exactly what number it went up to. I'm thinking like 17 or 47, somewhere in there, but it was pretty high on the New York Times bestseller list. Well, they come out with a new expanded edition of it. This is a paperback version of it, and so that's what we were discussing here. And so a number of different subjects that Chuck covers in this book. We didn't get a chance really to scratch the surface very deep in order to get in some of the things that were here, but primarily, you know, talking about the nightmare of debt that we're in, and about protecting our borders, and about the, in the book, he also talks about the value of human life and the care for the family, and just a number of other issues. And so I just thought I'd bring that to your attention. He's done an excellent job on this particular book and laying out some of these cases. Let me go to the phone line very quickly. We're only going to have time for about a minute's worth of discussion on this because we're going to switch gears with our second guest in just a second. But Ron is up on the line here. Hey, Ron, welcome in today.
Hey, I heard him say there are a lot of law-abiding illegal aliens in the country. Now, I'm not too sure how anybody who is here by breaking the law can be law-abiding.
Yeah, I didn't really agree. I see that what his point is that maybe priority-wise, setting a priority that, you know, going after ones that are not law-abiding first and foremost, and then trying to get them out. But obviously, I agree with you. The bottom line to immigration is that they're here illegally, and there's all sorts of problems with that.
Yeah.
Not to mention just breaking the law to start with, but beyond that, it's certainly not fair to the people that are trying to come into the country in a legal manner, you know, that are going through the process. It's not fair to those people, and we just cannot allow it, because we need to know who's coming into the country and why they're here and how long they're going to be here and all of those reasons surrounding that particular issue. And so I agree with you, Ron.
And there's another thing too, and that is the people that are coming in and are being naturalized also learn something about our laws. And I think the big challenge we face in our country today is that there are too many people in politics who are running roughshod over our Constitution. So, you know, you get the illegals come in, and they've already fashioned things according to their own desires. Mm-hmm. They can do it with just about anything else.
Exactly.
Big problems everywhere.
Yeah.
Well, hey, it was a good interview, dude. I appreciate it. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Ron. And we got to take a very quick commercial break. And when we come back from the break, we'll be joined by Alyssa Harris, who's with World Magazine. And we're going to switch gears a little bit. A portion of Chuck's book that we didn't get to was a portion dealing with a family. But when we come back from the break, we're going to talk about marriage, and specifically same-sex marriage, that the court systems right now in California are dealing with this issue. They're trying to overturn Proposition 8, which was voted on by the people of California and upheld by them. And we'll talk about this more right when we come back from the break.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.
Looking for a great way to learn more of God's Word? Do you wonder what the Bible says about specific life issues? Divine Direction is an audio CD with over 300 Bible verses arranged by subject. It was developed to help people find biblical solutions for everyday issues like anger, depression, worry, and more. Divine Direction gives people hope as they learn that God's Word has solutions for all of life's problems. The biblical model for true change is also explained in order to help us have genuine and lasting victory over sinful habits. Divine Direction also includes a section that explains the salvation message and is an excellent tool for witnessing to unsaved loved ones. Let's face it, people are busy. Divine Direction is the perfect way for those who are on the go to learn God's Word and be encouraged with the message of hope. It's available on CD and also as a download for your iPod or computer. To order Divine Direction, simply go to power-ministries.com. That's power-ministries.com.
It's great pizza for a great price. So pack up the family and head over to Stevie B's near Walmart on Woodruff Road in Greenville. At Stevie B's, you'll find friendly faces and at least a dozen pizzas out at all times. Or you can order a pizza and they'll make it fresh just for you at no extra cost. So visit Stevie B's today.
Hi, this is Pastor Kevin Bowling, and I want to take the time to thank John, Ruth, Carlos, and the good folks over there at Stevie B's Pizza for their support of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
Churches around the country are making efforts to appear more attractive and relevant to the world, all in the name of bigger numbers and higher attendance. But there is a very real danger that these efforts will lead to the compromising of the gospel. Charles Spurgeon spoke against it over 100 years ago, and John MacArthur speaks against it today. Crossway is publishing the third edition of Ashamed of the Gospel, available this January. In it, MacArthur calls the church away from a marketing mentality and back to the faithful proclamation of the gospel message.
Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome back into the second segment of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. We are now in the live segment of it. The first half of the broadcast, I was airing an interview I did with Chuck Norris just this past Monday about Chuck's book, Black Belt Patriotism. And, I won't rehash some of the things that we went over there. But we're going to switch gears a little bit and now turn our attention towards World Magazine, and specifically a discussion with Alyssa Harris about an article that she just wrote yesterday in World Magazine, one of their web extra features out in worldmag.com. And it discusses the idea of marriage and marriage on trial. We're going to go to that discussion here with Alyssa in just a second. I just want to let you know about tomorrow's broadcast. Tomorrow, Adrian Warnick is going to be my guest on the program. He's just written a book called Raised with Christ. In fact, I just spoke with Adrian a couple moments ago. He called from the UK, and we wanted to make sure the phone connection was okay. But he'll be with me tomorrow, live on the broadcast, talking about the issue of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and how the resurrection of Jesus Christ impacts everything. It's a world-changing, obviously life-changing event, and we'll be looking again afresh at the resurrection of our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now let's go to a discussion with Alyssa Harris from World Magazine about Alyssa's article she just wrote on marriage, and specifically about what would happen if a decision in the courts, California courts, overturned the ban on same-sex marriage. What sort of ripple effect would that have across the country? Alyssa, welcome into the Knowing the Truth radio program.
Thank you so much for having me.
Alyssa, can you give us a little bit of a summary of what's taking place there, maybe using your article as a little bit of an outline, but could you tell people about what Proposition 8 was and now what's mm-hmm. happening in the California court?
Yes. Well, Proposition 8 was a ballot initiative in California that was passed by the voters of California, and it basically banned same-sex marriage in the state of California. So this was an initiative which the voters of California voted on and decided they didn't want to have same-sex marriage in the state of California. And this case is a case that's challenging Proposition 8. So it's trying to overturn this ballot initiative. Mm. So basically, they're trying to overturn this ballot and make it so that there is same-sex marriage in the state of California. Mm-hmm. And this is in the U.S. District Court right now. If it's appealed, it'll go to the Ninth District Court, and it may possibly go to the U.S. Supreme Court, depending on how far it goes.
Is the Ninth District Court the infamous liberal court in California?
Yeah, I believe it. It has had quite a few liberal rulings. I can't speak off the top of my head about what they all are, but mm-hmm. it does have a liberal reputation.
So, likely, if it were to get a ruling in the U.S. District Court in their favor of overturning Prop 8, likely mm-hmm. it would go ahead and pass in the Ninth District Court, which would probably take this case all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm. And that's if the Supreme Court decides they want to hear it,
mm-hmm.
Which is, I guess, that's a big if either way.
Right. Let's talk for a
but
moment.
But it is a possibility.
Okay. Let's talk for a moment about another aspect of this case that makes it kind of unique is the combination of lawyers that mm-hmm. are working together in order to, I guess, for the plaintiffs, Ted Olson and David Boies. Is that how you say his name? David Boies, mm-hmm. and how they're working together. Tell us who Ted Olson and David Boies are.
Yes. Well, Ted Olson is the former Solicitor General under Bush, and David Boies, if I'm remembering correctly, was the lawyer who defended Gore in the Bush versus Gore recount
mm-hmm.
case. So these people are, you know, come from two ideologically different places, but they're working together on this case that may end up being a landmark case in the same-sex marriage debate.
And
so it is. It's a very unlikely pairing.
And I think Ted Olson as well worked in the Reagan administration and was seen as a conservative giant, basically one of the top lawyers in the U.S. for conservative causes. And all mm-hmm. of a sudden, I guess he has joined forces here with who was his nemesis at one time, David Boies, in that mm-hmm. Bush versus Gore case, which, of course, Ted Olson holds up to his reputation during that case and wins that case for Bush. Not that Bush was put in by the court, per se, but he argued, obviously, successfully that that the ballots that had been attributed to Bush should be counted in that infamous recount in the hanging Chad fiasco that took place mm-hmm. there during that election. I don't know
yeah.
if a lot of people realize as well, but Ted Olson's wife was also, she was killed in a plane crash, the plane that was flown into the Pentagon on 9/11. Ted Olson's wife. Yeah, Ted Olson's wife was killed in that plane crash or that terrorist attack that took place on that day as well.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us now what is the significance then if this were to pass in California? You know, if they were able to override the Proposition 8.
Mm-hmm. Well, it all depends on how far it goes. If the case simply stays in California and the U.S. Supreme Court decides not to hear it, then it will have ramifications just for California.
Mm-hmm.
So if they overturn Proposition 8, then there will be same-sex marriage in California. So, but, of course, if it goes on to the U.S. Supreme Court, then there will be greater ramifications for the entire country.
Mm-hmm.
And that will all depend. I talked to Austin Nimix with the Alliance Defense Fund, and the ramifications for the entire country, if the U.S. Supreme Court decides to hear it, it will just depend on the kinds of things they say in their
mm-hmm.
their rulings and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But it will have, you know, any kind of case like this establishes a legal precedent, which other courts will look at when they're deciding their own cases. So that will be the national ripple effect.
Is this fairly unique in the sense that the people of California have voted? I mean, they had a ruling in the courts that apparently led all the way to it being put on a ballot initiative, which takes a tremendous amount of signatures in order to be able to just be able to present it as a ballot initiative. And
mm-hmm.
the people of California voted. I mean, what sort of precedent would we be setting then to override the will of the people there in the state of California if this were to pass?
Yeah. Well, I guess the argument is that it violates the U.S. Constitution, and a state constitutional amendment shouldn't be allowed to infringe on rights that are supposedly in the U.S. Constitution. So that would be what they're at least arguing here,
mm-hmm.
that it violates, you know, national rights enshrined in the Constitution.
Do you have any sense from the sources that you spoke to? I understand the court case is already underway. Do you have any
mm-hmm.
sense on how this will go? Is there any predictions from anybody as to what will take place in this case?
Well, people are very reluctant to make predictions at this point, of course, publicly. But the pretrial rulings by Judge Von Walker seem kind of calculated, as I said in my article, to turn this into a national spectacle. So there have been some negative pretrial rulings, which have some Christians concerned.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that with the way this case goes as well, when it goes up to the Supreme Court, I noticed in your article, let me preface it with this. I noticed that the people are not protesting this time the way that they did last time. When Prop 8 was being voted on, there were large groups of protesters and people speaking about this issue on both sides. That is absent this particular time. And the Christian side says that we're absent because they're just waiting to see what the court is going to say about this. Obviously, I would imagine that that'll change if this ends up going all the way up to the state, to the Supreme Court of the U.S.
Yeah, it's hard to say at this point. I mean, if it does end up being a national issue, it seems that there will be people across the nation mobilizing and not just the leaders in California, if it becomes more nationalized,
mm-hmm.
which would be far down the road, yes. But for right now, people in California who have been active on this issue are just laying low and they're praying
mm-hmm.
and following it very closely, of course, but not necessarily going out in the streets and waving signs.
There's another aspect of this case that's a little bit disturbing. First of all, I think the court case being brought up is obviously disturbing and dangerous. We feel that if this were to pass for some reason, but there's another aspect of this that's a little bit disconcerting as well. The idea that they want to call to the stand people that were against or that were for Proposition 8, even to the point of possibly getting their internal communications. How did they orchestrate the their agreement with Prop 8 and the people voting for it? That's a disturbing portion of this case, don't you feel?
Yes, the leaders on the traditional marriage side are definitely concerned about that, that it seems to be very calculated to prove some kind of bigotry and homophobia
mm-hmm.
on the side of Proposition 8 supporters. And also the pretrial ruling to televise the whole proceedings also have them very concerned, because many of these pastors have already received, they've received threats and been the target of vandalism and that kind of thing. So there's some concern that they're going to be turned into these national targets by having their face on TV.
Sure.
So fortunately, that decision to televise the proceedings has been stayed by the U.S. Supreme Court, and they're going to issue a final ruling today, actually in a couple of hours, on that particular side of it.
But the videotaping is really just one piece of it, just the fact that they're calling them to defend their views on this issue, to say, this is why I voted, I wanted Prop 8 to stand. That seems a little bit unprecedented in my mind, and then to videotape it, in other words, to make people defend that publicly, risking, as you say, even the possibility of vandalism or violence being done against them because of their stand, all of that seems highly coercive in the way that it's being done. Is ADF making that case?
Well, the lawyer I talked to from ADF noted that this is something that often happens. The same-sex marriage supporters try to kind of show a bigotry or a homophobia and kind of try to put that into the words and kind of paint the other side as having that bigotry and homophobia. So this technique is really nothing completely new.
Mm-hmm.
The lawyer pointed out.
You've written on, just this subject before, I would imagine, with World Magazine, just the idea of gay marriage in general and mm-hmm. same-sex unions, these types of things. What are some of the arguments or the statements that are made by Christians that stand against same-sex marriage? Obviously, we could look at the scripture. Do they typically go to the scripture to defend, you know, why they feel that that gay marriage is not good for our society? Or what are some of the reasons that you hear from your sources?
Mm-hmm. Well, there are a couple of different arguments, and of course some do come from Scripture and some are more sociological. But one argument is that marriage has a public function in society and that we don't know the consequences of same-sex marriage and how that will affect children and how it will affect society as a whole to redefine this institution that has been the bedrock of society. Mm-hmm. And so we saw that when Nancy Cott was giving expert testimony, and it came up, you know, whether or not we actually know the consequences of same-sex marriage. And Cott admitted that we don't know the consequences of same-sex marriage at this point, and it's an impossible question to answer. So that's one factor, is how it will just affect society as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
And then another one, and you see gay marriage advocates talking about this intangible and symbolic difference between marriage and domestic partnership or marriage and civil union. And so people generally on both sides seem to recognize that there's a difference between marriage and a difference between a civil union.
Mm-hmm.
And the question for Christians is, where does that intangible symbolic difference come from? And many would argue that it comes from God defining marriage and making it sacred, and that's something that we shouldn't redefine or mess with, because mm-hmm. then that intangible symbolic difference may be ruined.
So do you find that in speaking with people about this issue, do you find some Christians who will say, you know, that they're for a civil union between homosexual couples, but they are against it actually being called marriage and for them to get all of the benefits associated with marriage? Do they fall into that camp, or do they typically say, well, I'm against gay marriage and that's so close to civil union that I'm against civil union as well?
I think you find Christians in completely, you know, all different places. For instance, in New Jersey allows civil unions mm-hmm. already, and has just tried to pass the same-sex marriage bill, which just failed in the Senate. So in that case, you heard Christians, you know, arguing that civil unions are at least working. They're working, and we already have them, so let's not redefine the institution of marriage. So, and that may just, the Christians may not have argued in the first place for civil unions, but they were at least arguing that they are working
mm-hmm.
all right.
Working meaning?
Yeah, but you find Christians with a variety of different opinions.
Mm-hmm. I would think, giving over to the idea of civil unions, that in some way, you know, you're providing a stepping stone towards marriage, and plus I would think that also you're legitimizing the union itself, and even promoting it by giving it any sort of financial or benefit incentive to be in that type of a relationship. Do you hear that at all?
Yeah, I would guess that from the Christians I've talked to, most people who are opposed to same-sex marriage would probably be opposed to civil unions
mm-hmm.
in the beginning.
For that,
yeah.
For that.
And you see that even in Democratic politicians, you know,
mm-hmm.
across the board, saying that they support civil unions but don't support marriage,
mm-hmm.
same-sex marriage.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that in people's mind they need to remember that it is Scripture that defines what marriage is. It is ordained by God. he determines what a marriage is. It's not a social contract, as they like to speak of it as, or a socially recognized contract. This is something that comes directly out of the book of Genesis and telling us, you know, the what God has joined together, let not man tear asunder. And the definitions are clear there. It was a man and a woman. And so it seems crystal clear coming from the scriptures as well. And I think the burden is upon the homosexual community. They want to change what has been the status quo and what has been the accepted norm in our country for since its inception. And now to make that fundamental change there, I think the burden is on them to say why this fundamental change should really be made. And frankly, I don't think that that case has been made at all as to why that should be changed. So, Alyssa, what's next for you on this issue? Are you going to continue to write about it based upon this this court case and how this goes?
Yes, I will. And I'll be continuing to follow the court case. And there's actually another court case, from what I understand, going on in New Jersey, mm-hmm. or at least Garden State Equality has said that they're going to take the issue to court in New Jersey as well. So we may see, this is my theory, that we may see more court cases since legislative attempts and voter referendums on the issue haven't seemed to work well for same-sex marriage advocates. So we may see more court cases.
Now, in that case, it's slightly different there, is it? They're trying to get something passed. Was it before the new governor had taken office?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, they were trying to get a bill passed before Chris Christie took office, since he said that he will veto same-sex marriage. And the current governor, John Corzine, has said that he would sign same-sex marriage.
Okay.
But that attempt failed.
Okay.
In the Senate.
And so Chris Christie is in already, and
he'll be in on November, or sorry, not November, but January 19th.
Oh, okay. Yes. Okay, so it doesn't appear that they're going to be able to get that passed before then, and he'll...
No.
So if they did pass it afterwards, he's already said he's going to veto it. Okay.
Yes.
Well, good. Those are some, good battles. These are good victories, I should say. These battles, they just keep coming up, don't they? I mean, here the people of California vote on it, but even that's not good enough. It just seems like no matter what is done, there's always some sort of legal maneuvering that people can do, mm-hmm. and we have to keep vigilant and stay on top of these issues on a regular basis.
Yes. It's been a huge issue this past year. And I'm sure it will continue to be an issue in the year ahead.
Mm-hmm. Well, for that very reason, I want to thank you for what you do out there at World Magazine. I make the case very often when I talk to people on Wednesdays, especially about World Magazine, about that we live busy lives, and a lot of times we can't stay up on these types of issues. I do because of the nature of what I do here on the radio program. But a lot of other people, you know, are not able to stay up on these issues. And so you guys at World Magazine, taking these issues, boiling them down, putting them like in these web extras out here on your website into very succinct, you know, short little articles, giving us the gist of what's taking place, has been very, very helpful, I think, for the Christian community. And I just want to thank you for the work that you do there and the good folks there at World Magazine.
Well, thank you so much. And thanks for having me today.
Not a problem. Thanks for coming on with us. We really appreciate it.
No, thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye. That was Alyssa Harris. Alyssa is a reporter for World Magazine. And like I said, you can read the couple of articles that we were just talking about that Alyssa wrote. The one was called No in New Jersey, and that's out on worldmag.com as well. It's in their web extra section on their website. And then the other one that I was referring to was the Marriage on Trial, and that's one that Alyssa just wrote. It just came out yesterday, and that one is talking about the attempted repeal of the California constitutional ban on same-sex marriage. And so you can be watching out there to see the latest, how that particular court case is going. I want to, again, just let you know about World Magazine. They just do an excellent job out there. Just a lot of different stories. They're very quick on their homepage, very quick to write about about major news stories that are taking place. For instance, right now on their webpage, they have an article out there and a story about what is taking place in Haiti. Of course, Haiti just, there's a terrible earthquake that just took place there in Haiti, and the area is in serious need of relief efforts, and they write about that right on their homepage. So just encourage you to get a subscription to World Magazine. To find out how you can do that, just go out to www.worldmag.com and then click on the subscribe section, and you'll be able to get World Magazine sent right to your mailbox every other week. And so you'll be able to stay up on these important issues. Let me remind you that on tomorrow's broadcast, I'll be speaking with Adrian Warnick about his book called Raised with Christ. We'll be talking about the resurrection and how the resurrection of our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ changes everything. Remember, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." We'll see you tomorrow.
You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.
Life-changing teaching and talk for the Carolinas and Georgia. Christian Talk 660. WLFJ, Greenville, Spartanburg, Anderson.
Fox News Radio. I'm Lisa Brady. What little